didn't shake on that deal. I didn't make that deal. I thought I was getting shot for a second. I heard this. Okay, guys. I'm coming around. Amen. No, I'm just looking for somebody that will share with us today one good thing that happened to you this week that you want to give God praise for. Anybody? All right. He's going to say something.
Two guys.
Okay, speak loud.
Two guys that worked with us had a bad accident on Tuesday. They're both burned. Bad electrical explosion. Both of them are home now and probably making full recovery, but at first it was grim. They were lifelike and over in Augusta, and they stayed there. And, you know, just hope they can get back to work and get back to their family. But well, they're going to be all right.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Anybody else? Oh, Josh. Come over here. You said you weren't going to say anything. Listen, I need an hour and a half, so don't be long.
We want to hang that.
Amen.
Amen, brother. Been 10 years since we beat the Morgan County infidels, but hey.
I didn't mean to say that. I'm sorry.
Amen. Somebody else. Yes, hey man, I know you have a good one here today. Amen.
Taylor was in her bed Friday morning. And his car flipped and it landed between two trees. And it was two small trees, but if it went another inch, it would hit a pine tree. So I know God was with him. Yeah. And he's fine. We'll get through it by God's help.
Amen. You got a hand clap for that. Anybody else? Oh, yes, sir.
I was thinking about this, and I just wanted to let y'all know that, you know, you guys support FCA on a monthly basis, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and this is not this week, but this summer. Just want to let you know kind of what you guys have been a part of. We had 262 coaches and athletes go to camp this summer. We had 75 make decisions for Christ. And we've been able to follow up with them. So I just want to thank y'all for being partners in ministry. So I really appreciate that.
Amen. Yeah. Somebody else? Yes. Jack! All right, Jack. Grandparents are sweating. Amen. Amen. It sure was. And I'll tell you what, by the time I got there, a lot of it was gone. Amen. I'm going to get up in the front next to you. Amen. Anybody else? Yeah, that's right. Yes. Be right back, Mr. Buck.
I had a great birthday
party
this weekend.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. All right, Mr. Buck.
I had a little problem last night. One of my granddaughters got mad at us today. And Ben and myself, I carried with him down there. We went down to see a lady. I forget the name of the town, but it's one of the butchers out there. They got a big house down there and also a big dance hall. You ought to see it. It's out in the town pasture. It's all built. Well, I drove down there and I left home at 5 o'clock. We were supposed to be there at 6. We didn't make it till 6:30. We went down the same old place that they said it was on, and we couldn't find it. So we were down and picked up on the son. He come riding down there. He called me first. He come riding down there. And he said, "Where are you at?" And I said, "I'm down here where the Eddie is." he said, "Well, I'll be down there with you in a few minutes, and I'll show you how to get there." So it was off in the pasture, like I say, right back in the pasture, you know, and cows all the way away. I think there was about 40 cars out there. I didn't see any one of them that was over a hill, so. Well, When it come time to go home, all the trucks took them gathered around my car and says, who are you going to ride with? I said, me. He said, what do you mean? I said, I'm going to ride with me. I'm going to ride the car. She said, no, said, all of them now. No, one of us can drive for you. I said, well, you better hang on to the tailgate because I'm leaving to go. Anyway, I kept on. And the lady wouldn't try, she would go and drove off. Every one of them followed me. So I got down to one road, grabbed that truckhead. I knew where it was going, and I didn't need to go down there, so I just turned back there and went down there. And I went all the way down to where I knew to go to, and I turned back and come back to me every order. Followed me all the way home. They all followed
me. Amen.
Hey, that's my kind of wedding. Can I pass the wedding? Amen. I know about being late in the wedding. Vicki and I went to a wedding about a year or so ago, and I left it up to her to get the time right. And we pulled in. I said, there ain't a soul sitting in none of these seats out here. They all over there on the dance floor dancing around. Well, we missed the whole wedding, but anyhow, we made a reception, so we got there just in the nick of time. Somebody else, come on now, let me share what God's done good in your life this week.
I'm going to the U.S. Marine.
Oh.
Amen.
We are thankful for this time. He's enlisted in the Marines. He's going to be going to base after school or what? Yes, we will pray for him in that hot June sun, right, Brother Don? He's already been here, heads up in that. Sand that's right around the dune buggy's down there, that's so big, amen? Don't get scared, it's going to be all right. Anybody else?
I praise God and
thank
you for looking after me this week.
Yes, amen. I'm glad you're feeling better, Miss Anne. Miss Stella, birthday lady over here. Now is officially older than I am, for at least another couple of weeks.
Somebody of you will be yes ma'am for the next 3 weeks.
I just praise God that this is my birthday, and I have all my children and grandchildren for the whole week.
Amen. That is always a great thing when you have your kids come around. I love ours to death when they come, and I praise the Lord when they leave. In everything, give thanks and praise.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else? Anyone? Y'all didn't have anything good happen this week?
We live in prison.
Huh? He said, we live in prison during the week. We'll let you out on the weekends. Be thankful for that. Amen. Anybody else? How many of you agree we serve an awesome and good God? Amen.
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 We got a new truck.
Amen. Got a new mode of transportation. Amen. Well, guys, I kind of want to make this a thing we do every Sunday, just to share with each other what God's been doing in your life. I think that's important in the life of the church. We ought to share with each other the good things God's doing. I'm just so proud to see each and every person here today. And we're in for a wonderful testimony now. Chloe Adrian is going to come up and share her testimony with us. So let's make her feel welcome as she comes up here and shares her testimony.
God has helped me in so many ways that I had to give one of them to y'all. God will bring you out of whatever you are going through if you meet him halfway. When I was little, I was in a bad place with my mother. She did drugs, she drank, she smoked, and a lot more. When I got a new mom, I was so happy. She loves me, and I love her. My testimony is, yeah, I've had my good days, and I've most certainly had my bad days. But look at where I am now. I have 4 amazing brothers, 2 amazing sisters, and a mom and a dad that love me. God has helped me see what was right in front of my face. And when I did see the light, I opened my eyes to actually see what I hoped for, a great mom.
Amen.
Amen.
Anybody else want to share anything before we get going today? Y'all might wonder why I always take this off and put this back on and all that good stuff. The answer to that is because I like to wander around sometimes and I get out of range of this thing, so I have to take it with me wherever I'm going. So, how many of you glad you're in God's house today?
Amen.
Amen. I had something in store for y'all, but the CD didn't burn, unfortunately. Mama Lover's like, but anyway, it's okay because, hey, we'll get this thing going next time. Amen. Guys, I want to talk to you this morning about a topic that I believe the Lord's laid on my heart. I believe God always, when a pastor's submissive to God's will, I believe he always puts things together and puts things in motion. And I believe sometimes it may take several weeks to get it where he wants it to be, but I believe his plan's always right. Amen. I believe that as long as you're serving God and you're following him and you're living your life for him, that he is always going to guide your path and guard your path and be with you as you travel down these roads. Now, sometimes these roads are going to be very dark. Sometimes it's going to seem like you can't find your way as to where it is he wants you to go. But I can tell you this. God has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He's always going to be with us. And if you're going through a test in your life right now, I heard a great quote from somebody, and I love it. I'm going to use it often. And that quote is this. Being a teacher, I can appreciate this. He said, well, what good teacher ever talks while he's giving a test? I never really thought about it that way, but that's true. God, a lot of times, is silent when he puts us through a period of testing. And his will is always going to be right. I want to talk to you today about a subject entitled Bad Company Corrupts Good Character. And I want to speak to you from the heart today because I've seen this happen a lot. I've seen this happen in my life. I'm speaking from personal experience here a little bit today. But I'm also speaking from the perspective of, I want everybody to understand, how many of you believe God maps out a plan for our lives? Raise your hand. God has a plan mapped out for us. He has an individualized plan for each person's life. If you will submit yourself to him, he will make that plan and that path clear in his time. But you see, part of the problem is we want to operate on our timetable sometimes, right? We want to do it in our time frame. We want to do it when we want to do it and when it's convenient for us. But I can tell you this. We don't necessarily serve a God of convenience on our behalf. We serve a God that is going to convene when the time is right. Amen? He's going to convene in our life when the time is right. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Praise the Lord. Anybody else going to say praise the Lord when we read God's Word? Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to read two verses to you. Beginning with verse 33 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to ask if you will, those that can't, stand to your feet as we read God's Word. We're only going to read two verses today, and I'm going to go back and refer to some other stuff here. Verse 33 says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Father God, I just ask now, Lord, you add your blessings to the reading of your word. Lord, let nothing that I say or do now be anything about me or to lift me up, Lord, but let it all be to lift you up and glorify you. For that's what we're here for today, Lord, is for you. It's not about anything we want or we want said, but we want to hear from you, Father. And I just pray we'll hear from you, Father, in the next few minutes, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, if I translated that, for example, in the NIV version of the Bible, this is what that verse says. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good character. Dr. Charles Stanley referred to it as this one time. He's like, you know, when you hang around with bad company, it's like a bride in a white wedding dress who leaves and goes down into some dark cave or some dark hole somewhere, and there's no light, and there's nothing to guide her around. And when she comes back out, that beautiful white dress is just filthy. It's covered in mud and all kind of other stuff that came in contact with it as she was wandering down this path. And that's absolutely true. Guys, when we wander away and we get off the path that God has set for us and set for our lives, we're going to come back dirty. Let me tell you this, guys. I don't care how strong you are. If you hang around with worldly people, you're going to find yourself starting to adapt to their way. They're not going to adapt to your way 9 times out of 10 without some coaxing and without some really hard prayer. But I guarantee you this, you'll be more willing to adapt to their way. How do I know this? Because I did it. How many of you have done the same thing? Anybody unashamed to confess that? We went down the path. We went down those paths. Why? Because we're sinful. We live in flesh that's been corrupted by sin. Why do you think God speaks so often about yoking ourselves and pushes the point about yoking ourselves with fellow believers? Because as long as we're together in the light, we're going to stay in the light. But when we wander out of the light and we wander into darkness, we're going to dabble around with the fruitless deeds of darkness. And God knew that. He knew as soon as his creation and man fell to sin that it was going to be a constant struggle from then on. We constantly struggle with those things in our lives, don't we? Bad company truly does corrupt good character. You know, I've had young people, I worked with young people pretty much my whole life, my whole career. And I love them to death, but sometimes their mindset is a little bit out there, right, guys? Every now and then. Sometimes you can say to yourself, I'm not going to do that, but there is a lot of power in sin. I want you to understand that. Sin can have a powerful grip on someone's life. The Bible says we find pleasure in sin for a season. But then there's going to come a time where if you're a born-again believer who has wandered off into sin, God is going to redirect your path, and it's not always going to be a pleasant redirection, I can tell you that. So it's far better to say, Lord, I'm going to stay in the light. I'm going to walk in the light. I'm going to yoke myself with other believers. Now, I know what some people are thinking. Well, preacher, aren't we supposed to love everybody? How can you say don't hang around this type of person or that type of person? I'm not saying don't love them. I always believe in loving the sinner, despise the sin in which they're so prevalently living in. I love the sinner, but I hate the sin. And that's what I want everybody to understand. It's not about not loving somebody. It's about loving Jesus enough to do what He's called you to do, and that is to yoke yourselves together with like-minded people. You ever heard the old saying, if you lay down with dogs, you're going to wake up with fleas? Well, there's a lot of people itching today, amen? There's a lot of people itching today. You know why? Because they've done just that. They've sacrificed what God has in store for them for what? A few hours of pleasure, a few hours or a few days or a few years of dabbling in this or dabbling in that. I can tell you something. Nothing good has ever come out of a bottle that had alcohol in it. When you abuse it, now listen to me what I'm saying. The abuse of that, the abuse of drugs, is not going to lead to anything good in your life. It's not going to lead to anything good in your life. Going around to different establishments and all where there's just nothing but ungodly people there. How can a child of God hope to benefit from that? How can you go off to a party where you got a group of people there and it's some of the most ungodly things going on that you can imagine? You see, bad company truly does corrupt good character. It corrupts good character. Let's back up a little bit in the book of 1 Corinthians. Let's go back to chapter 5 for just a minute. I want to bring a couple of things to your attention today. And then I'm going to really start preaching. This is just the intro, amen. Amen. It won't be long, I promise you, but it will be jam-packed. Amen. And guys, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper when we get done today. What an awesome thing that is. Honoring the death of our Lord and Savior for what He did for us on the cross. That's a pretty awesome thing, isn't it? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, let's look at verse 6, beginning with verse 6 for just a minute. 1 Corinthians 5, beginning with verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Let me give you another translation of that. Your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough? In other words, a little bit of you doing or hanging around that bad influence is going to affect that whole batch of dough in your life. It's going to affect you from top to bottom. Get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch as you really are. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus, you need to get rid of that old yeast, that worldly desire that you have in you, those worldly people that you've been hanging around with. You need to step away from them. I don't say ignore them and not ever try to witness to them. We certainly need to do that. But we got to separate ourselves. How are we going to be any kind of witness to anybody if we're hanging around with the world and we're living in the world just like the rest of them? Just like the rest of them. We're not going to make a difference. We're not going to impact lives for Christ. Why? Because in order to impact somebody's life for Christ, they need to see what? A difference. They need to see a difference. They need to hear a difference. They need to be around a difference. If all you're doing is the same things they're doing, then you're already corrupted. You've already been corrupted by what the world has to offer. Now, I can tell you this. I hung around the world for a long time, but I'm going to give you somewhat of a little short version of my testimony. I'm not going to get in depth and in detail with it, but I'll say this. When I was these young people's age right here, I was in church every time the doors opened, revivals, youth activities, youth trips, everything. I would say I was on fire for the Lord about as much as you could be at that age. I loved serving Jesus. And when I went off to college, I thought to myself, man, my faith is so strong, I will not let it get rocked. But before I knew it, my faith got rocked. And here I was, the person that never even went to one single crazy party my whole high school career. I was in God's house every time the doors opened. I was now finding myself dabbling around with the world. And before I knew it, I was doing the very things they were doing. Here's the person that said, I'm stronger than that. I can overcome that. Let me tell you something. You cannot overcome sin when you continue to stay in it and around it. It's going to eventually infect you, and you're eventually going to fall victim to it. That's why it's so important to separate yourself. That's what God's Word is telling us here. Let's go back to it here. Let's go back to chapter 5. Look at it right here in verse 9. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners or with idolaters, for then ye needs must go out of the world. But now I've written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such an one not to eat. I'm going to read that from the NIV version now so that you may understand that a little better. It said here in verse 9, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Sexually immoral people. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. We have a problem with immoral sex in the world today. Young people thinking it's okay to go and do anything they want to do with whoever they want to do it with, whenever they want to do it. Not according to God's word. See, that's the problem in America today. We have just basically said, okay, God, here's your word, but here's the way I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to seek pleasure. I don't care what it costs. Well, guys, it does have a cost. There is a penalty for it. And you will find out what that penalty is one day if you leave that sin unconfessed in your life. Then it goes on to say right here, It says, not at all, meaning the people of this world who are immoral or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world. In other words, Paul's saying here, I'm not talking about not associating with people who have sinful natures, because we all have to come in contact with them, don't we? I mean, wouldn't it be nice if the job we worked had nothing but Christian people working there? Wouldn't that be so much better? But that's not the reality of it, is it? We have to come in contact with worldly people. So we're going to have to be around them. But he goes on to say here, but now I am writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater, a slanderer, a drunkard, a swindler. Look at what the next line says. Do not even eat with such people. Don't even go to McDonald's with them. You'd get heartburn anyway, amen? Don't even eat with them. That's pretty stiff words, preacher. Yes, sir, but those aren't my words. Those are God's words. Amen? This is not the gospel according to me. This is the gospel according to Jesus Christ, whom, if we say we are born again, should be serving every day of our life. Amen. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. If we are truly born again children of Jesus Christ, then we ought to be living as He would want us to live. And that's why I believe the Lord's laid this on my heart about bad company corrupting good character. It's going to happen. I don't care how strong you are. You keep hanging in the world, you keep hanging around the world, you're going to fall victim to the world. It's going to happen. You saw the hands that went up in the room here of people that the very same thing has happened to. It's going to happen. The Bible says don't even eat with such people. And look at what verse 12 goes on to say, 12 and 13 in the King James Version. It says, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Here's what those verses say in this translation. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked person from among you. If we're truly following what God's word says, and we have talked to someone who is living a life like this, we should expel them out of the membership. Does that happen very often in churches? No. You know why? Because a lot of churches just kind of, they do this. Oh, Lord, I saw Sister So-and-so last week. Whoo, you wouldn't believe it. I saw Brother So-and-so, but hey, I'm just going to turn this way and I'm going to pretend like it didn't happen. Guys, you can't turn away from God. You cannot turn away from His sight. He's going to see everything you do. He's going to see everything on that cell phone. He's going to listen to every conversation you say. Guys, I heard the youth's Sunday school lesson a little bit today. If what you say on a daily basis is not something you would want your mother, your preacher, your teachers, other godly people to hear, then guess what? You ought not be saying it. You ought not be thinking it. You ought not be doing it. Because I'm going to tell you what. Yeah, we may not can see, hear, and know everything you're doing, but I know somebody who does. Amen? Amen. Guys, we got to wake up to this. We got to understand this. We are living in crisis right now. I'm going to give you some statistics in a minute. Internet usage has gone out the roof as far as negative internet usage goes. You know, there's times where I just sit back and I was like, Lord, why did this ever come around? You know, I love it. Don't get me wrong. I like my cell phone. I like being able to pull up things on the internet. But I think of the corruption that it's brought into people's lives. I think of lives that have been torn apart. Why? Because we can now access anything we want to access. We can go online. We can go find the perfect person for us. You wait till I show you some of these statistics here. You may not want to go looking for the perfect person online. Amen? Because I'm going to tell you what, that's a haven for sexual predators right there. I'm going to tell you some things about that in just a minute, some research I did on that. But guys, here's what I want for you. I want you to live a pure life. I didn't say a sinless life. That's impossible till we get to heaven, right? But live as pure a life as you can. Put Jesus in your life. Put godly people around you. And you can't help but be moving in the right direction. Amen? You will not be going in the wrong direction if you surround yourself with godly people who have godly ideas, who are on a godly mission. If you do those things, you're going to be headed in the right direction. However, if you do not do those things, I don't know where you're going to end up. But I can tell you this, you're going to end up with a trail of heartache following you. Because God loves His children, and He will discipline His children, and He will bring them into a right relationship with Him at some point in time. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. So, let me ask you this question. What is more important to us? To be popular? To be somebody that everybody talks about? Or to be that person who's kind of over here that doesn't get a whole lot of recognition from the world, but in God's eyes, He's storing up treasure in heaven. She's storing up treasure in heaven. She will have, and He will have, multiple crowns to cast at the feet of Jesus when they finally do get their just rewards. I don't know about you, but I want to be with that group. I wasn't very popular anyway in school. Amen? But I want to be popular in heaven. You realize in heaven we're going to get assigned certain tasks there. And some of them will be to kind of be over other people in life. And you know what I think is going to happen? I think a lot of times those people that were looked at as being weird and, you know, standoffish and they didn't want to hang around us, I think that they will definitely have a very important role to play in heaven. I really believe that. So you see, guys, here's the bottom line. I'm going to stop after I get done with this. Here's the bottom line. Bad company does corrupt good behavior. If you want to continue to hang around with the wrong people, then you're going to continue to make mistakes. I'm not saying you're going to be mistake-free if you're living totally for Jesus, because you're still going to make mistakes. But guys, if you truly are who you say you are, a born-again child of the King, then we ought to see it. Then I'm going to tell you what some of you need to do. I'm not talking about just young people either. I'm talking about anybody. I guarantee you one thing, there's just as many older people that are abusing the internet as younger people. Don't think it doesn't happen, because it does. I think some of us need to go home. We need to delete certain people from our cell phones. We need to get rid of certain apps we have on our cell phones. We need to, if we can't control ourselves any better than that, get that internet out of our house. Amen. We need to go and purge ourselves, because I'm really concerned with where America's headed as far as morality goes. I'm just so concerned that good-natured people, goodwill people, that's why I'm so concerned with our church, our young people, not just our young people, but everyone. I'm concerned with what you do when you walk outside the doors of this church. I'm concerned with what some of you are thinking about right now. Some of you may be thinking about something inappropriate right now. Isn't that scary to think that is going on right here in the church right now? I guarantee you, in somebody's mind already in this service, something wrong has come across your mind. You know why? Because you hadn't let the Holy Spirit of God infiltrate you and just surround you and protect you. And you know what the Bible says? In the book of James, you can easily control what Satan tries to manipulate you to do. Just rebuke him and he will flee. You just say, Satan, get out from around me. I don't have any time for that. I'm a child of the King. Now he's going to come back. He's going to keep coming back. And you're going to keep telling him the same thing. You are defeated. You cannot make me do anything I don't want to do myself. Because what did I tell you weeks ago? I said, when you invite the light of Christ into your heart, all darkness is driven out. Satan then must leave your heart and must then operate from outside you, trying to manipulate you, not from controlling you from the inside ever again, if you're a born-again believer. But that's the problem with what we have today in America. We got too many people wanting to do it their way. Let me give you some statistics as I close out here today. I went and I searched some reputable sites to try to get some information about online dating. That's a big thing nowadays. How many of you met your partner face-to-face and you got to know them for who they really were, amen? Raise your hand in this room tonight, today. I don't even know what time it is, amen? Hey, but let me tell you something. I didn't need no internet to set me up with who God wanted me to be with. You know why? Because I prayed for him to bring me a godly person. And he did. I prayed that for my kids, and he's delivered. I don't need internet to bring somebody in my life. All I need is to trust Jesus, and he will bring that person into my life, or your life, or anyone else's life when the time is right. But see, we don't trust him. Oh, I'm this way, or I'm that way, and I won't ever find anybody. Let me get on my phone. Before you know it, you're right there in that pathway of darkness. You're just like that bride going in that beautiful white dress right down into that dark black hole. And you're going to come out the other side of it filthy and dirty. Why? Because you don't trust the person that can help you. You don't trust the person that can find that person for you. Don't you believe as a born-again child of God that God's already got the person picked out for you? I believe that. You just got to trust him. Young people, you don't need internet to find your future partner. Middle-aged folks, you don't need the internet to find your future soulmate. You don't need it. What you need to do is understand that God's got a plan for you as a born-again believer, and his plan is the right plan. Now, it may not be quick enough for you, but guess what? When you're young and you're still in school, do you really have time for a bunch of relationship anyway? No. So, hey, just pray to God to take control of your life, and when the time is right, Lord, bring the right person into my life, point me in the right direction, and above all, God, help me to stay away from corrupt people in the world, because it's going to mess my character up, and it's going to mess my witness up, and I'm not going to be able to be that shining light for you. You see, guys, I love everybody in this congregation. I've told you this multiple times, and I hope you believe me. You say, yeah, right, you get on us every Sunday, amen. I'm not getting on you. I'm telling you what God's Word says, because I want you to rise above the world. We're to be in this world, but not of this world. You see, too many of us want to be godly people, don't get me wrong, but we still like a little bit of that fun life. Oh man, that's fun. That ain't no fun coming all up in here in church all the time, sitting around. Well, guys, maybe you need to go back and redefine fun in your life, because I have fun, amen. There's no telling what I'm liable to do on any given Sunday, amen? But it's all going to be for his glory. It's not going to be for anything that's trying to make me look good or whatever. I want to leave you with 7 things I found that were pretty shocking to me. 1 out of 10 sex offenders use online dating services. 1 out of 10. 10% of the sexual predators out there are perhaps contacting your children right now and leading them to believe they're some great, wonderful person. 25% of rapists used online dating sites to find their victims. 1/4 of the rapists throughout the United States, now, you got to understand one thing, a lot of rapes are never reported. These are the ones that were actually reported. 25% of them used online dating sites to find their victims. More than 53% of Americans fabricate parts or all of their profile details on these sites. In other words, they make you think they're somebody, but they're really not that person. They're really not that person. MSNBC research showed that 11% of people using online dating services were already married. That's scary, isn't it? 11% of the people, maybe even contacting our high school kids, our college age kids, our young adults, they're already married. They're just looking for a little entertainment on the side. They're contacting people. They're already married. Each year, internet predators commit more than 16,000 abductions, 100 murders, and thousands of rapes. Is the internet really worth it? Is it really worth going and looking for that special person? You don't know who that person is. They're going to tell you exactly what you want to hear. Hello. Is anybody awake out there with me today? They're going to tell you what you want to know. And half the time, if they do put a picture on there, it's not their picture. How about this? 27% of those using online dating sites are between the ages of 18 to 24. 18, that's a high school senior's age. 24, that's a very young college age person, a young adult. But here's one statistic I was really happy to find. 88% of the people that were polled in this survey met their spouse offline. Amen. Met their spouse the right way. They got to know them. They got to know their family. They didn't have to go on some website and look them up and have any risk of anything happening to them. They got to know them by coming in contact with them. And they prayed. Hopefully a lot of those 88% prayed for God to bring the right person into their life. Guys, we got to wake up. This is an epidemic. We've got a lot of bad company around godly people. And guess what? These godly people are allowing that bad company to stay around them. And as a result, character is being corrupted daily. Bo works with young people. I've worked with young people. Alicia works with youth. This is not just a young person's problem, but I'm telling you, a lot of our young kids, their conception is off. They're looking. How many of y'all remember Mickey Gilley, the old country singer, looking for love in all the wrong places? Amen. That's exactly what's going on here. Guys, do you realize, young ladies, I want to address the young ladies here for just a minute. You are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of Christ. You don't need some low-down dirt bag, amen, that's going to treat you like trash, that's going to kick you to the curb, that's going to potentially one day rape you. I said, oh my God, this preacher's losing it today. I'm telling you the truth. You don't need that. You were created in the image of Christ. That's not just young ladies, young men too. All men, middle-aged men. We are children of the King. He's always going to have our best interests at heart, and He's going to bring the right person into our life. Don't rush it. Don't go looking behind stones trying to find them. Because what you may find is something you really don't want to find. And God certainly doesn't want you to find it. Amen. It's my prayer today that, guys, we'll come down to this altar and we'll pray for one another, first of all. Because I'm going to be honest with you. This world, I've said it before, it's not getting better. It's getting worse. The only place it's going to get better is when God's people come to the realization that, hey, I got to start acting like who I am. I got to start taking this message to this lost world in which I live. And yeah, I've got to be around that world. But when my duties in that world is over, I'm going to get back around godly people where I can stay in tune with what God wants for me. I'm going to help build up. I'm not going to help destroy. So you see, I want to end this thing with a message of hope, because I know what some of you are thinking, wow, we've got no way out now. I'm doing all the things He said. Oh, yes, you do have a way out. You got a Savior that loves you. You got a pastor that loves you. You've got a congregation that loves you. You do have a way out. That way is Jesus. You may already be a born-again believer who has just wandered off into the darkness. Guys, you can come right back in the light, but guess what? You control your actions. That's the bottom line. You control what you do. Don't blame it on the devil. Yeah, he's throwing temptation your way, but he's not making you do anything. So what I'd like to see is, let's get back around to serving who we say we are really serving. Let's put Jesus first in our lives. Let's get rid of all this other garbage in our lives. And I can promise you this, as long as you're serving God, you'll never go wrong. I didn't say you weren't going to have some trouble along the way, some trials. You're going to be tested. But you will always be within His plan for you if you always put Him first. But see, that's the problem. A lot of people just don't put Him first. He's way down here somewhere. But yeah, we want all these things in our life. Guys, you got to put Him up here. You're not going to get those things that you think you so desperately need and those blessings you so desperately want until you put our Lord and Savior in His rightful place in your life. And that's number one. For those of you that need a translation, numero uno. Amen. That's the only other language I know. I'd say it in something else. Guys, we're going to open up this altar for a few minutes. Then once we get done with our altar call, we're going to sit back down. We're going to get in humble reverence and honor the Lord's Supper here. And we're going to leave out here. I hope you were challenged a little bit here today. Amen. I hope that you're thinking a little bit today about, you know what? I am beautiful in my own way. I don't care what you look like. All of that. Y'all laughing because I said I'm beautiful. Amen. It doesn't matter what you look like, guys. We're all beautifully made in the image of Christ. We are who God wants us to be. We can't change that. I mean, we might could do a little bit here and there to help, but ultimately, we're still going to be the person that God made us to be. So it's my prayer that today you'll come up here today and you'll come pray and you'll just ask God to, first of all, ask Him to reveal areas in your life that you need to change. And then be willing to let Him bring about that change. There may be some of you here today that needs to come and accept Jesus as your Savior. Guys, I'm telling you, I still believe there are people here that need to get saved. I really do. I'm just going to leave it at that. But it's going to have to be your heart driving you to come and do it. I can't make the decision for you. There may be those of you who want to come and become a part of this fellowship. I encourage you to do that. But whatever God is laying on your heart, this place up here is for believers on this altar right here. This is for people who need to find the Savior right here, this aisleway. I'll be standing down there if you want to come. But I'm going to close this out in prayer, and I'm just going to pray that you'll do what God's laying on your heart. Because I believe there's some people need to come up here to this altar and need to pray and say, you know what, Lord? That might as well have my name on that sermon today. Not because I don't like you. I love you. Jesus loves you. But I love you too much to leave you where you came into this building at. And Jesus loves you too much to leave you where you're at right now. So will you come and be submissive to His will? You may say, well, I'm too old for that. No, you're not. You're never too old to get going in the right direction. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I thank You, Lord, for this day. I thank You for each and every person here. And God, I'm praying that You're moving in somebody's life right now. I'm praying that if there's that one here today that realizes, you know what, I really need to get saved, that they'll come and do that. Lord, I'm praying if there's that person here today that needs to get rid of some things that they're doing. And Lord, I just pray You'll move in their life and in their heart. God, if there's that person here today that says, you know what, I want to be a part of this fellowship here, that they'll come and do that. Father God, we're going to give You the praise for all of it ahead of time because You are the author and creator of this world. Your will and Your way is always the perfect will and way. And Lord, I pray as we enter into a time of honoring You through the observance of the Lord's Supper here, Lord, that we'll reverence what it stands for. And God, we want to thank You so much for sending a part of You and a man named Jesus to die for a bunch of worthless sinners like us. We just give You the praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing? Let's stand and sing hymn number 530. Will you come today? Hymn 530.